This past week, I was on a lectureship in Lubbock, Texas at the Southside Church of Christ, and that lectureship was recorded, and it is on the internet. There is a fantastic resource if you have a computer and want to access it. It is known as the Online Academy of Biblical Studies. If you'll just type that in, the website will come up. And folks, they have an archive of biblical material that is just unbelievable. They hold classes on every book of the Bible. They go and they record all types of lectureships, all types of gospel meetings. Many services from various congregations of the Lord's people are recorded and placed on that website as well. It's just full of information. The Online Academy of Biblical Studies. I don't think you can find a better reference if you're trying to develop some Bible knowledge in some areas. So take note of that. Go look it up and see if it's beneficial to you. We hope that you will. We're glad that you're here today. We've got a lot of visitors. Brianna and Brooke, they're here today. They said, "We've been here about three times and you never here." And I keep telling them, "I hear you're coming," and I try to get away. "I didn't hear this time." No, they're precious, and it's good to see them, and they and their mom are doing well, and we're very, very glad of that, and it's good to have all of our visitors. We got some folks from Arlington here today, and we're glad that you're here, some others, and we appreciate your being with us. Last week, we began a lesson entitled Evangelism, Faith to Get the Job Done. Folks, if you and I are going to be good soul winners, we are going to have to be individuals who have a faith. And sometimes we're asked, well, how much faith do you need? And one of the answers to that question is this: enough to get the job done. Jesus said that if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it will remove. That's the kind of faith that is needed if we're going to be effective in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We noted last week that we also need faith in certain areas. And we talked about three of those areas last week. Number one, we need faith in the promises of God. Sometimes doing mission work, sometimes doing personal work is difficult. And you and I can grow somewhat discouraged. But if we will embrace the promises that God has given us, we will move forward and continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need faith in prayer. Paul went before his God and he prayed for the salvation of the Jews. He desired their salvation deeply, and that should be our position as well. Enter into our closets, get upon our knees, and pray for the salvation of our friends and of our family and of all the lost throughout all the world. Thirdly, we need to have faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, there is power in the blood. It is the blood that redeems man. It is the blood that saves man and washes man from his sins. And you and I must believe thoroughly that the blood of Jesus Christ is just as effective today as it was in the first century. This morning, we want to continue the thoughts of this lesson and talk about some other areas wherein you and I must have faith if we're going to seek and to save that which is lost. Point number one, if I'm going to be an effective soul winner, I must have faith in the power of the Word of God. A very familiar passage is Romans 1:16, is it not? The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We are told in Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be which goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." My friends, God has instilled inherent divine power in the Word of God. And He has told us to go forth and to preach that Word, has He not? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." As you and I go to these individuals, you and I must have a deep faith that the power of God's Word can enter into the hearts of men and women and can cause these individuals' hearts to be pricked and turn to the Almighty God. But not everyone that we preach to is going to accept the gospel, are they? We go to door after door after door. We talk to friend after friend after friend. We sit down with our family members and we try to reason with them, and all we get is rejection. Guess what can happen? We can start believing that there is little, if any, efficacy in the Word of God. We can begin to doubt whether the Word of God is really as powerful as God says it is. And I'm afraid that in many places, we have set aside the Word of God and we have begun to instill other things in our attempts to try to convert men and women. Individuals have turned to gimmicks, they have turned to gadgets, they have turned to sophistry, they have turned to philosophy, they have turned to all kinds of ideas trying to win individuals to Jesus Christ rather than just continuing to preach the Word. Let's assume for a moment that someone does turn from the gospel. We've gone to that door, we've knocked on that door, and we told them, look, we're here because we love you, we're interested in your soul, and we want to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you sit down with us for about 30 minutes and study the Bible? Nope. I'm not interested in that mess. What should be my reaction? Should I cry? Should I go home? Should I try to figure out a different way to approach this individual? Absolutely not. Listen to the right reaction. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said unto them, it was necessary that the word of God should be first preached unto you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That's found in Acts 13, verse 46. Paul and Barnabas didn't try to develop another way to reach the masses. Folks, they didn't change the message. They didn't change their approach. What did they do? They just went to the next group of people, knowing that somewhere out there, there is a good and honest heart in whom the Word of God will sprout and bear much fruit. Isn't that what we're looking for? Folks, the problem is not with the Word of God. The problem is with the heart of men when they reject it. Let us keep our faith in the power of God's Word. Secondly, you and I, if we are going to be effective soul winners, must have faith, listen to me, to go. Isn't that the very first part of the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world. Folks, that's the very first step. You and I have to go out there to the world to talk to them. Question. How many individuals today do you believe are at home? Oh, I bet you there's a bunch of them, don't you? I bet you if you knocked on some doors, individuals would just keep coming, right? And guess where they're not? They're not here. For some reason, we believe that the worship services are the place to convert people. Folks, that's not the case. This service is not for those individuals of the world. This service is for us, the church, to worship our holy God. This is our gathering. If you and I are going to convert the world, you and I must go. Go. Are there thousands, millions, billions of lost people? Yes. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus says this. The harvest truly is plenteous. Matthew 9, verse 37. That tells me that there are a lot of individuals out there if we will just go to them. We look at the church today, we grow discouraged, and we say, wow, the church isn't growing. It's not surprising, is it? Why is the church not growing? Because we are not sowing. That's why. Folks, you and I have to leave the confines of this building. We have to leave the confines of our house. And we've got to go out into the world and start preaching intentionally the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many people do you know who are really studying the Bible with others? How many missionaries do we have as the Church of Christ going out into the world to spread the gospel? Did you know it's around 300? That's all. 300. That's not very many, is it? I always like to think in terms of what if. You know that? What if? What if every congregation of the Lord's people would say something like this? We are going to door knock 3 hours a day, at least once a month. Now, that's not much, is it? Not really. It's just not that much. But what if every congregation said that? Now, folks, when I say that, here's what I mean. I'm not talking about five or six people showing up to do that. Okay? We got around 100 individuals here today. We tell the church, 2 weeks from now, we're going to meet here on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. We're going to knock doors for 3 hours. And guess what? 100 people show up. Now, we got a problem, don't we? Where in the world are we going to drop everybody? How are we going to keep up with everybody? Folks, 100 people in sets of two, that's a bunch of streets, isn't it? That's a bunch of doors that could be knocked in 3 hours. You don't think somewhere out there we'll rattle enough bushes that we'll find one person to study the gospel of Christ? Surely. Surely one. What if every congregation of the Lord's people would go and invite a group of young people from either a preacher training school or a college to come in just once a year and knock doors for an entire week? Folks, that's the only reason they're here. 20 young people show up at Oceanside. And from Sunday afternoon until Thursday, guess what? All they're doing is knocking doors, trying to set up Bible studies and Bible correspondence courses in the Beaches area. And they cover the whole Beaches area. They leave after a week, and guess what? Next summer rolls around, guess what? Another group's back, and they knock doors all over again. And we do that year in and year out, year in and year out. Individuals in the community almost begin to expect it, don't they? Well, there you are again. You were just here last year. Now, remember what we said in our lesson last time? Sometimes individual circumstances change, folks. I knock the same door, see the same person. Last year they said no, this year they say yes. Can you imagine knocking? How long is it going to take us as a congregation to knock every door in this community? A long time, isn't it? You get a good group in here and they can knock a lot of doors in a short amount of time and leave us with a choke load of work. You know that? What if every congregation of the Lord's people was committed to supporting full time, not part time, full time, a mission work overseas and a mission work in the United States? Wouldn't that be something? We take groups down there, we take groups over there, we stay active and involved in those congregations until they can become self-supporting, and then we do another one. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a congregation could say over its lifetime of one group of individuals that we have supported four or five men in the mission work full time, and they're still out there today preaching and teaching the gospel, and that's what we're responsible for? What if every congregation got together and said, hey, we're going to make certain we've got 5,000 missionaries scattered throughout the world. Not 300, 5,000. What if we said we want to put a church in every county, in every state of the United States of America? What if every church would get behind an effort like Gospel Broadcasting Network and make certain that the gospel, by means of satellite, is put into every home in every country throughout the entirety of the world. You see, folks, we got to go, don't we? We've got to go. Got to get up off the couch. Got to turn off American Idol. Got to turn off The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. The Voice. Got to turn off that football game. Baseball game. And guess what? We got to go. That's the first command of Jesus. Go. My friends, it takes faith to step out that door with a few little pamphlets and a Bible in your hand and knock on that door, doesn't it? It takes faith. Point number three. You and I also are going to have faith enough to speak. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the Bible says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Oh yes, I understand that if I'm out here in the world and I'm living a Christian life, that individuals are going to see that and they may be drawn to Christ through my Christian life. But folks, my life alone will not convert them. Somebody, somewhere is going to have to sit down and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not easy, is it, to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes there's going to be some fear and there's going to be some trepidation as we talk to various individuals. Paul said when he went into Corinth, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. It's almost hard for me to imagine Paul being in such a condition, isn't it you? When you read about the Apostle Paul, he looks like this bold individual, just ready at any moment to speak and to teach, and he was. But guess what? Behind all of that, at times there was fear. And that's why he told the church at Ephesus the following, "And pray also for me, that I may open my mouth," listen to him, "boldly," that word means with courage, "to make known the mystery of the gospel of Christ." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul said, "I need my brethren to pray for me that I'll have courage to speak." That's what we need, folks. We've got to have enough faith that I'm willing to open my mouth and talk to other people. Sometimes I have to talk to them about things that we are against. And sometimes I have to talk to individuals about something that I am for. And in either way, I might make somebody mad. I might offend somebody. I may make an enemy out of somebody. I might get persecuted for what I'm saying. You see, we have to be against man-made denominations, don't we? And we have to be for the precious church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for which He died. I have to be against all of these man-made doctrines that individuals are proclaiming to individuals that keep them in a lost condition, and I have to be for the gospel plan of salvation that includes baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. I have to be against individuals being in the enslavement of Satan, and I have to be for individuals being in the freedom of Jesus Christ. You see, I have to be against things, and I have to be for things. Has there ever been a time in your life when somebody said something, and you're sitting there, and you are in your mind saying something like this? You know, I really need to say something. And guess what? You don't. You don't do it. I know I should, but I don't. Folks, what is it that's keeping us from doing that? Most of the time, it is our fear, is it not? I know I should, but I just cannot muster the courage to say what I really need to say. Silence is a form of cowardice. silence enables wickedness to prevail. Silence has never once produced a drop of faith in an individual. Silence keeps the lost lost. Silence does not build up the body of Jesus Christ. Silence does not fulfill the command of our Lord to preach and teach. Silence does not glorify the Almighty God. Get on your hands, get on your knees and pray to God. God, give me the faith to speak to a lost soul about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Point number four. As soul winners, you and I are going to have faith to support the spread of the gospel. If the gospel is going to be spread, not only in our community, but throughout the entirety of the world, somebody is going to have to fund that. There's going to have to be some type of monies that are given in order for that to transpire. Do you know that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Now listen to this. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10, 13 through 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? I was talking to Ryan Tooten over the weekend, or during this past week, he was at the same lectureship. Folks, they have what is known as Latin American mission work over at Forest Park and Valdosta. And right now they are supporting about 600 preachers of the gospel in Latin America through that work. It's about a $3.2 million operation each year. You tell me where that $3.2 million comes from. It's not from the Forest Park congregation totally. Somebody has to be funding that work, don't they? Somebody has to be willing to give of their means in order for all of those men to preach the gospel. And he says, Vic, we're living in some tough times right now. And we are, aren't we? He said a congregation will write into us and they'll say, hey, we can't support this work anymore. They may have been giving $200-$300 a month. That money goes directly to a missionary. Guess what they have to do? They have to call the missionary and tell him, you just lost $300 worth of support per month because a congregation has dropped the work. It's tough, isn't it? Let's assume for a moment that you want to be a missionary. You've made up your mind that you want to leave the United States of America. You're going to devote your life to the spread of the gospel somewhere in a foreign place. Folks, what are you going to do that? Number one, you're going to have to sell everything you've got. Do you know that? Because it is cheaper to sell it all here, fly over there, and buy it than it is to ship it over. Thousands of dollars to ship all of your furniture and all of your goods across the seas. It's a lot of money. So you sell everything. You've got nothing but your clothes and a suitcase and you and hopefully a wife who still loves you. Now I've got to get over there, don't I? Folks, it's not cheap to fly, is it? You fly to some place like Australia, $1,600 for a one-way ticket. That could be high dollar, can't it? Then he finally gets over there and boy, he's excited. He's rolling around his little suitcase. All he's got, what does he have to do? I've got to have a place to live. I got to have some furniture. I got to fill that house with food that I can eat. I've got to have electricity. I need some of the basic necessities like you do. A way to have contact with the outside world. Phone, television, internet type services. You've got them. Why shouldn't they? I'm a missionary. Don't need all that fancy stuff. You got it. There was a missionary down in Guyana, South America. And for several years, his only mode of transportation was a scooter. Now, he had a wife. Only mode of transportation. Let me tell you what. If I pull up my house on a scooter, transporting Kathleen everywhere, there's going to be problems. That little lady, she'd jump on that scooter. Round they went all over the place. They had a baby. Guess what their only form of transportation was? A scooter. Now, can you imagine that? They had another baby. Now, there's a killer, isn't it? One man driving a scooter, a woman holding two kids, down the road. You know, it's funny, but one day they had a wreck, threw every one of them off into a ditch. Finally, somebody here said, hey, you know what I think you need? I think you need a van or something. And the brethren got together and bought that man a van so that he could transport his family around. He wasn't wealthy enough to go out and buy one for himself. He wasn't making that much money. But he needed a car, didn't he? Just like we do. And folks, what about basic necessities for the church? Need a building? Need electricity? Need songbooks? You need communion supplies. You need a way to be able to pass out some information to individuals when you're studying the Bible. All of that stuff costs money. Where in the world is it going to come from? It's going to come from somebody who has faith to, guess what? Support the work. That's where it's going to come from. Less McDonald's, less Wendy's, less Outback. Wherever you go, I don't know where you go. Somewhere, you and I need to be making more sacrifices for the spread of the gospel. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. We've mentioned that term, fellowship in the gospel. Folks, here was a congregation willing to give up carnal, worldly, material things in order to make certain that the needs of the Apostle Paul were supplied on numerous occasions. A missionary who was grateful that a church was willing to support him. That's the kind of faith we need. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying always that I might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Pretty strong words, isn't it? Did you hear that last statement? It tells me two things. It is possible for there to be something lacking in my faith. That's kind of scary, isn't it? When it comes to the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, could it be possible that there might just be a little something lacking in our faith to do that? But note the second thing. It is possible for an individual to come along and to do what? Perfect that which is lacking. To make mature, to develop, to bring to full age that which is lacking in another individual's faith. Folks, I hope that our lessons over the last 2 weeks have done that if you are lacking in your faith when it comes to evangelism. Not only do we need to be people of the book, like Kevin prayed in his prayer this morning, but we also need to be a people who are willing to spread the message of that book just as far and wide as we possibly can. There's a saving message found in the gospel, isn't there? And it's not anywhere else. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friends, has the name of Jesus saved you? If not, you're lost. And right now you stand in need of hope because you have none if you die in a lost condition. Do you need to obey the gospel of Christ? Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Are you willing to cease from your sins? Step forward and confess His precious name before this congregation. We can immerse you in water for the forgiveness of those sins right now. The water's ready. Those sins will be completely removed and the Lord will add you to His church. Do that this morning, dear Christian. What about you? Does your faith, does your life manifest that of a Christian? Maybe there's somewhere in your life that you know you stand in need of repentance and stand in need of forgiveness of God. Won't you come pray that God will forgive you? Come as together we stand and sing.